Today's episode is going to be one you do not want to miss. We've got our own director of technology, John Furr, in the house, and we're talking all about what it means to be a website developer. If you've ever had any interest in learning about website development, this is the episode you don't want to miss. Hi, and welcome to the Dogwood Media Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Harris, and today my guest is our own director of technology, John Furr.
Welcome. Hello.
Yeah, thanks for joining us here today. And this is a podcast we've been trying to record for quite some time now.
It's been a minute.
You're a busy guy.
I try to be.
I'm a busy guy. You're a busy guy. So like getting the two of us to sit down in the same room has not been the easiest thing. Yeah. And I can't imagine what in the world is happening in your life, but maybe we'll learn about it.
Maybe.
I was just thinking about, you came to work for us at Dogwood here back in October. And so that was, we were 2 months before we moved to the new building. Mm-hmm. And here we are, we're in May. And you've been with us for 8 months now. And how many positions have you held in 8 months now?
It's been three. Yeah. So, started as web developer, then became senior developer, and now director of technology.
Yeah. You've moved up fast. And part of that, I would say, in my defense, because we don't normally move people up that fast. Let's go ahead and knock that out. That's not a normal trajectory at Dogwood where we just go in and change your title every 4 months. This was 100% because we hired you, and we didn't know what we were getting. We learned that you had a lot more experience. Then we had some staff changes in the middle of all that, too. And basically, you just happened to be in the right place at the very right time with the right skill set, and we're able to rock it up through the through our ranks. And now you're overseeing our entire team of developers.
Yeah,
which we've got six developers in total that you're overseeing. So. Would you imagine that back in September before, you were working for yourself at that time?
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm going to go work for this company, Dogwood, and I'm going to be the director of technology in 6 months.
Not immediately. I think at some point in those 6 months, I did see the writing on the wall that my trajectory was going to probably be director of technology.
Yeah.
With the staff changes and just the experience I have in the field, having worked for other agencies and done freelance and done this or that.
You literally had everything that basically led you to that at that point. You'd been an intern for another agency in town. You became a web developer. You went out on your own. So you've done the things that we do for a long time. And this has had to open you up to being a whole new skill set, too, because it's a little bit different web development that we do at Dogwood than a traditional agency, because we have a little bit different contracts we work with. And so it's been a little bit different. But for the most part, it seems like you fit right in, right at home. So,
yeah, the biggest change for the latest job title is just directing people. That's been a new experience for me is directing and managing people and delegating tasks. I'm so used to doing everything myself that delegating tasks has been interesting.
Oh, and that's a hard thing to learn, because that was me, because I came out of being the solo guy. I was by myself, and then I got overwhelmed to the point where I had to bring in someone else. Yeah. And that was hard to let go of things.
I know.
Because you're like, I know I can do this, and I can do it right.
It's like, I have the most knowledge about this, so I should be the one to do it. But that puts you in a bind if you're doing everything.
Yep. And you've got to get to that point where you're duplicating your knowledge.
Yeah.
And that's not always the easiest thing to do.
No, so. not with deadlines or time estimates and things that it makes it harder to do, but trying to find the time to do that.
And that's still very much, I would say, a moving target that's still happening for us.
It still is. Yeah. I'm still catching myself at the onset of things going, well, I could do this. I could do it faster. I could do it. But that's not a good way to work long term.
Right. Well, I'll go back. I sent you a couple questions I plan on asking you ahead of time. And the first one I figured would be the great place to start at is, so what exactly is a web developer? What is it that a web developer does?
Excellent question. So web developer, in the short of it, is they make websites. Now, there's a spectrum of what makes a web developer. You can be a jack of all trades and do it all. You can be a full stack developer, or you can have a focus. But mainly what you're doing is taking designs and implementing them into a system to make a website. Now, we'll go into what those types of systems are later. I know that's another question coming. But that can be anything from writing everything from scratch in code, or setting up things in a graphic interface of a system. It's kind of the spectrum. You also have specialties where there's developers who focus on just front-end development. That is, what is in the browser? What is the code running in the browser? And mainly, what does it look like? or you have back-end developers who are all working on server-side code, which is all the stuff behind the scenes, which is delivering the stuff to the browser in the first place. Or you have guys like me who do it all.
Yeah, which that makes you super valuable, too. So, like, I know one thing that I've had this discussion with other people. What's the difference, you would say, between, like, a web developer and a web designer?
Mm-hmm. So that one's interesting. Is there's definite overlap there. Like, strictly, if you say web designer, they are just designing what a website should look like, mm-hmm. mocking it up in something like Photoshop or Figma or any sort of the design app. That their whole job is come up with the interface and what it looks like. You also have specialties there where you have like UI specialists or user experience specialists whose whole job is not even necessarily the design, but the actual content and how it flows together. Now, a web designer can do all that, or mm-hmm. they could just take a framework from like, say, a UI or UX designer and then slap a coat of paint on it to make it look nice.
Right.
But the big thing you run into this field is a lot of overlap. Whether you're a project manager, a designer, or a developer, or a sysadmin, at a certain point, you can kind of be all of those things. And I know my job tends to have me do bits mm-hmm. of all of those, bits of project management, bits of design, bits of development, bits of server management, which is what a system admin would do.
Right. And as our agency continues to get larger, I imagine those positions will end up kind of dividing themselves out. Mm-hmm. As I mean, it has happened on our marketing strategy side and our design side, where we start off a designer, we add a videographer, bring another designer that has a different skill set with the market strategy. You know, we've got Beth now who's focused on SEO, and mm-hmm. and then you got a couple other people that are focused on social media, and other parts of that are public relations, and so the web development area has starting to change a little bit in that way too. I feel like it will change,
yes.
where you start getting people that are more specialized in certain areas. So, and kind of, we've already done a little bit of that mm-hmm. because we work with our main content management system we're working with at Dogwood right now? Because
for most of our direct clients, it's going to be WordPress.
Yeah,
which is one of the most common content management systems. It powers about 30% of the entire web.
I think it's even more than that.
That's just the estimate I remember looking.
And then we work with another content management system mm-hmm. too, like as our second place one, I guess you could say.
Yeah. And that's more for some of our government contracts mm-hmm. is a lot of them are working in Drupal,
okay.
which is now WordPress and Drupal are both open source PHP based content management systems, but they are very different from one another.
Yeah. So what's like a similarity between the two of them?
I mean, the similarity would be the similarity with any content management system is the whole goal of it is to make a system that the end user can update their website without having to know how to code.
Okay. Which kind of leads me to my next question too, mm-hmm. like about like you mentioned coding. So like, and you mentioned the words PHP, yes. which may be foreign to some people too. So mm-hmm. what are these things, these PHP and JavaScript? And I don't know what other things you mentioned into there, but is there other ones you can throw out there? Maybe tell us what they are.
Yeah. Well, all the, these are the different languages of the web. Okay. There are certain languages that browsers and servers use, and there's flexibility there. But for the most part, you'll have almost every single website will have some form of HTML, hypertext markup language, which isn't actually a programming language, but is a coding or markup language for browsers to understand content. It's okay. like, this is an image, this is a paragraph, this is that. Then you run it to CSS or cascading style sheets, which is the design or the style of that content. It's 14 pixels tall. It has a background color of blue. It's this mm-hmm. or that. It's just the presentation.
So it's given the directions, basically, what now, to show.
Yeah. If HTML is the content and CSS is the styling, you then get into JavaScript or any of the other more actual programming languages, which is the functionality.
Okay.
Now, JavaScript will be functionality in the browser, and PHP, which is a kind of funny acronym because it stands for PHP Hypertext Preprocessor, so it has the name in the acronym. It's a recursive acronym because programmers think they're funny.
That's really funny.
that one's doing interactive and sort of the logic of everything on the server side.
Okay. So I know, like, recently we've been working on PHP upgrades. Mm-hmm. And so that's just the server side of what that is.
That's okay. Just the logic and code that is running on the server.
Well, so all these different things, most people don't understand it. So what makes a good web developer, a person who understands it, what makes that person good and helpful to a client? Is there like a key characteristic people should be looking for?
The key characteristic I have found in the web developers that I work with is being willing to tackle a problem, being problem solvers. You're always going to run into an issue. You're always going to run into something that you're not sure how to do.
Yeah.
Someone who is a self-learner, being able to look at a problem, to, research the problem, and implement a solution is tantamount to the position. You have to have that skill. Otherwise, if you're just by the numbers and only do what maybe someone tells you, you're not going to be able to do everything that a web developer really should.
So basically, they have to be able to think.
Yes.
For themselves.
For themselves.
Unguided.
Unguided. Google skills.
Yes.
Also tantamount to the
because there's a lot of resources out there.
Yeah, and it's also constantly changing too. Browsers update, systems update, this or that. There's new standards, and that's something that you have to be wary of and knowledgeable about, that things do change and you have to be on top of them.
So if someone called themselves a coder, does that make them a web developer?
Not necessarily. I mean, web development is sort of in the larger scheme of programming and development, a niche. So there is some very specific things to making websites, specifically working with browsers and making things cross-browser compliant is a whole area of this, of making sure something looks good in Internet Explorer versus Safari versus Chrome or Firefox or who knows what. I had a web design teacher who said designing for web is designing for uncertainty. You don't know how someone is going to view your website, whether it's going to be on a phone, on a tablet, on a computer, in this browser, in that browser. If they're blind and use a screen reader, you have to be able to know and accommodate for all of these things.
And that's something that's recently changed, because even since I've been building websites and working in the agency world, I've had to work with other people and explain to them why they couldn't have an image with text already in the image. And like, hey, you can't do that anymore. Yeah, you used to. You would build stuff like that.
It used to be the only way to do certain things.
But now it has to be separate, because it has to be able to be read for accessibility and also just for responsiveness. And responsiveness, of course, being the when your screen changes sizes, basically based on your tablet or your phone or your desktop, that same text has to be able to react and
change sizes. Yeah, it has to fit on page and look correct.
And that's a web developer has to be able to do all those things too. Yeah, constantly thinking about these different things. I'm going back to my coding question, because I was going to ask you a question about STEM and STEAM, and that, you know, I hear lots of people saying coding is part of that. Could people that are taking those STEM and STEAM classes, are they going to be good candidates to become web developers, do you think?
I think so, because in a lot of those fields is the main thing, which is problem solving or just being, like we were talking about, being a thinker. All of those fields are lead someone to have to do that in whatever field they're in, that I think translates well. Now, I didn't come from a STEM background.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask you that. So, like, explain your background to us.
All right. So mine's been a little bit interesting, because I have an art degree. I have a bachelor's of fine arts in design arts with a concentration in digital media.
Which makes sense for user interfaces. Yeah, has to make something pretty. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as far as falling into development, that is something I just spearheaded myself.
Okay.
The very first thing I ever did was made a theme for my MySpace. And that's the first time I ever touched HTML and CSS, and being able to change code and see it change on my screen, I thought was magical. and I have just more or less kind of fallen into doing that.
Yeah.
I did some stuff in college. I worked for another agency, like we said earlier, and I did freelance, and just in each one of those, I've just slowly developed up my skills and my knowledge base to get to where I am now.
I was just thinking about all of the web developers that we have here. I don't think a single one of them went to school to do web development.
Yes.
Brett?
Brett is in school for programming in general, for computer science, which
is technically not still web development, but it's...
Now, there are skills that are transferable.
Right.
And being able... I'd say someone who is a computer science major would have a good foundation to become a web developer, but just having a CS degree
yeah.
doesn't mean you can jump in and do the work because of the, like I said, how being a niche part of the whole, there's right. still a lot to learn outside of generalized programming.
I can't remember what Cody's degree is in, but I want to say it's something similar.
I don't recall.
And Devontae also too, I believe. And I think Slayton's degree is mm-hmm. in IT.
Yeah. And then I know his degree included parts of development in it to learn.
And Jesse has no degree.
Yep.
He's 100% self-taught. I mean, he's literally, I've watched him grow because we brought him in basically to help out during the pandemic. He was working somewhere else and he needed hours to basically, you know, to keep the rent, you know, getting paid. And yeah. so I was like, we've got this stuff we can train him how to do. And like, he literally in the past 3 years has grown tremendously. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I've seen that just in the brief time that I've been working yep. with him.
He's a sponge and he just continues to learn. So
yeah, and he's a thinker too. Yes. Like he'll work through problems yep. before coming back to you,
mm-hmm. which has made him super valuable to mm-hmm. us. And so he's seen his value go from a 4 to 5 hour a week part time employee to he's a full time employee that we said, yeah, well, we're going to keep you on staff if you want to move to Huntsville. You know, we're going
we don't want to lose you,
right? We didn't want to lose him, and yeah. so like there's
still parts of Drupal that he knows better than I do just from having worked in it for longer than I have.
Yeah. Well, someone wants to be a web developer and they've heard all this, what we've talked about. What is, if they were going to go to college or something, what would you think would be like the actual thing that would help them the most in college right now?
I mean, I do know that there are degrees that focus on web development, and that is probably a good route to go down. But there are so many code camps and online resources for teaching and learning yourself that I don't think you necessarily have to have any sort of degree to do this stuff. Some of the best web developers I've known don't have a degree in it. Have just been, I say self-taught, but found the resources to teach themselves.
I was thinking Seth, who was with us, who actually he landed a huge job up in Richmond, where he's from. He didn't have a degree, but he went to a code academy.
Yeah,
like it was a boot camp, and I think he did a 6-month boot camp and came out and was able to do all the things he needed to do because it's a super intense program. So someone, and I'm not trying to like down colleges, but someone could go to one of those kind of boot camps and probably get some really good offers. And with him, he just needed experience. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that we were able to bring him in here and give him that experience that which helped him to land the next job and making even more money and being in the location he wanted to be in because he's from Richmond. So it made sense when he went home.
Made sense to go back. Yeah, right. Family and everything.
It was one of those things I remember when he told me, I was actually on vacation when he called me. And he FaceTimed me and I was like, oh, this is not good. Someone's FaceTiming me on vacation. And I was like, I know what's about to happen. Now and he told me where he was going. I was like, man, I can't be mad at you.
Yeah.
I was like, you're going home.
Doing what's right for him.
I was like, they made him good money, and so there's good money to be made in doing this. Mm-hmm. And of course, he lives in an area that the cost of living is higher. But I digress.
Yeah.
Anyway, fair. It was one of the things we were excited to see him grow in his career like that. So
yeah, and those boot camps like he went through. They give you a really good starting point to work from. Now, you can't come out of those knowing everything. You can't come out of any degree knowing everything. It's still going to take the experience of making websites and seeing where the gaps in your knowledge are.
Yeah, but it gives you a head start and gives you marketability also.
Sure does.
And those are two big things. So someone could literally get a high school degree if they had the interest in it, go do one of these boot camps. It could probably be 18 years old making a very good salary. Mm-hmm. And being able to do something they love to do and having fun doing it. So.
Yeah. I sometimes wish I had gone through the boot camp route just because most of my learning has been very trial by fire, given things that I don't know how to do and saying, sure, I'll make that happen.
That college experience, so you wouldn't want to give that up, though.
No, I definitely wouldn't. Because
you had a great time.
I had a great time.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. My final project was really fun. I coded a video game and made an arcade cabinet to play it on.
That's awesome. Like built that, like a wood cabinet mm-hmm. to build it.
With joysticks and buttons and a screen and all that.
I actually tried to buy one of those fours recently. I saw an NBA Jam's game go up for sale. And I was like, oh, we need that in the office. I didn't win, but maybe one day.
Maybe one of these days.
I digress again. I do this. I chase rabbits, but
it happens.
Hey, was there anything else you want to talk about today? Or anything? I know you mentioned you had some points too.
Not really. I mean, I had some more points about CMSs in general.
Okay.
Like that's a whole field of when you get into what is the back end of a website, mm-hmm. CMS is only one of the routes to go down. Now, CMSs tend to be more of a packaged solution that right. has a lot of the things solved for you. But if you need something very bespoke, there are frameworks that are more customizable than a CMS, but they don't have any of the start, any of the foundation done for you. It's literally a blank slate for you to build out everything you need. So you can use a framework to create a CMS, more or less. Oh. There are certain frameworks.
I've seen that before. Other like, agencies will build mm-hmm. out their own CMS, basically.
Mm-hmm. I know we have been working with transferring some .NET applications, mm-hmm. which .NET is a framework for making websites or making web applications. Mm. There's a third avenue there besides CMSs and frameworks is software as a service. And that's where you get your Squarespace and your Shopify
yes.
and all of these things where it's just someone is worrying about all of the back end and most of the front end and just giving you a service to host your website with.
And there's sometimes we recommend that even
oh,
here.
Yeah, of course. There's all of these are very valid routes to make a website with.
If I was building a store right now, you know, Brian's Bikes or something like that, I'm putting it on Shopify.
Yeah.
I mean, WooCommerce is great. WordPress one, but
An e-commerce out of almost any of these can be turned into an e-commerce, but Shopify makes it so much easier.
Well, even like the way they integrate with the point of sale system and the inventory management, it's just they've made a true one-stop shopping platform.
Yeah.
And they give you a lot of freedom even with like customizing your themes and stuff. I mean, it doesn't have the freedom that WordPress has or even Drupal for that matter, but it's still pretty good.
It gives you a lot of customization. And the big thing that it does is it's managed by the company that is supporting it. Whereas if you have a WordPress site, whoever built it has to worry about WordPress updates and plugin updates and all of this and server architecture. And whereas something like software as a service of Squarespace or Shopify, that is all abstracted away from you and you don't have to worry about it at all.
Hmm. And which of course we take care of that for our clients.
Yes. Yeah. That's part of our job is being that guy.
Yeah. And that's a big piece of what Jesse still does to this day is managing all those things,
the plugins, the themes,
that kind of stuff. And he'll tell you it's a headache sometimes.
It can be. We ran into it earlier today where after some updates, a site broke. And then when it auto updated again, it broke again.
Which is why we have a person monitoring those things. So when that kind of stuff happens, we're able to go in there and fix it. Because if someone, a typical person who built a WordPress site, is not going to have the ability to go back in and fix it like we were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's. It's an added service we have as part of our hosting, and there's definitely other platforms like Squarespace and Shopify that you don't have to worry about those things too. But it does make WordPress a more viable service for the typical person, which they can build a very custom website inside WordPress versus a Squarespace. Squarespaces aren't as custom.
Yeah, that's the trade-off with any of the software as a service is the customization is there's some, but it's always more limited than a generalized CMS. Something like WordPress is going to give you the most flexibility in customization.
Okay. Well, we've actually reached the end of our time. Can you believe we just flew through that?
Oh, wow. That just flew through.
it goes by really fast. But so next episode, Lauren and I will be back hosting, and we'll be talking about reasons you should regularly use LinkedIn. It's one of my favorite social media platforms and something we'll be talking about then. So if you like what you're hearing, you also can head over to our website at dogwoodmediasolutions.com. Check out all of our other blog content that we've written about. Today was not a blog post. It was a Q&A, but a lot of times the content we talk about on our weekly podcast or biweekly podcast is coming straight from our blog post. And so this one was, you know, we got to pick your brains a little bit different than a normal one. Mm-hmm. But we'll be back to doing the other format in our next episode, though. Also, if you're looking to connect with us, just the same place, website's the best place to go, dogwoodmediasolutions.com. You can contact us directly through the site and also all of our social media accounts, which you can find a link there, too. If you haven't already, make sure you please subscribe to our podcast and definitely leave a review, too. That it helps our podcast to be seen by a lot more people when you do that. You can find us on all of your favorite podcast platforms. And I say that just in case you're listening to us on our website. You can go to the podcast platform and have those notifications come in every time a new podcast is available. For right now, I do want to say thank you for tuning in to the Dogwood Media Solutions podcast. John, thank you for joining me today.
It's been a pleasure.
And until next time, we wish you happy marketing.
See you.